Hi, hey, hello everyone. Once again, this is Jeff Adams from the Icebox Radio Theater, welcoming you to another edition of Radio Icebox. This is episode 9, Zodiac, Unitard, Monkey Wrench. Hilarity starts, of course, in just a little bit. But first, I want to let you know about a great opportunity for us, and I think an opportunity for all of you coming up here in the next month at the theater. We're going to be opening a Patreon account. What is Patreon, you ask? Well, there's more about that online. Just search for Patreon. It's essentially a Kickstarter site for people that create regular recurring content like blogs and podcasts and like that. And we're very, very excited. You know, the great thing about creating works of art and works of media is everyone gets a voice. Everyone gets to go on the internet and present their work to the world. The not-so-great thing is that everyone gets a voice. Everyone gets to go on the internet and present their work to the world. And that means we're in a very crowded room right now with a lot of voices, and it does cost money to produce these shows, and we're hoping that we've garnered enough support from enough of you that we can keep doing them for another year. So more information on that at our website as things develop. For right now, though, time for the funny stuff. It's the adventures of JJ, Abby, Cody, and finally figuring out who Jennifer really is. All of that, possibly, and more on this edition of Radio Icebox.
Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
You go first.
No, you go first.
No, you go.
You.
You.
Age before beauty.
Pearls before swine.
What?
Just go. One of you.
Right. Sorry.
We're sorry.
We really are.
Just take a stupid donut, pass them on.
Cody, is something wrong?
No.
Because, you know, if you want to talk about this...
This is supposed to be a staff meeting, right?
Yes.
Then let's keep it businesslike, please.
Okay. Abby, would you like a donut?
No, you go ahead.
No, you go.
Enough!
Sorry. Look, Cody, maybe we should just talk about what's bothering you.
You mean the strange liquid on the floor in the sound effects department?
There's a strange liquid on the floor of the sound effects department?
There has been for months. I'm pretty sure Dave was doing a slime creature effect and forgot to toss the jello. You really have to watch your step down there.
Okay, so noted. And no, I didn't mean that when I asked if something was wrong.
What did you mean? Well?
He's talking about Jennifer.
Right.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. She was an intern here for a short time, then left. It's a shame, because she was a really good engineer.
Okay, but that other thing?
There is no other thing.
Cody,
Or at least I thought there was, but it turns out I was wrong. She left. End of story.
Right.
Cody, we're really sorry.
Yeah.
And if JJ and I have been a little, I don't know...
Nauseating?
Well, I was thinking affectionate. We're really sorry.
We really are.
I appreciate this, but if it's okay with you, I'd really rather change the subject.
Okay. The slime and sound effects?
Yes.
How do you think we should get rid of it?
What I don't understand is why she won't call.
Okay.
She gives me this special cell phone that seems to work even though no other phones work in town. She says she'll leave me a voicemail, then she won't call.
I'm sure she just needs some time.
For what? I agreed to break up. I agreed we were a mistake. All I want to know is... I want to know, is she okay?
Have you looked at the phone at all? Tried to figure out how it works?
Grandpa and I tried to tear that thing apart, but it kept shocking us.
It shocked you?
A self-defense mechanism. Pretty advanced tech, really. I think it's probably Black Ops.
Was that Grandpa's theory?
Oh, no. Grandpa's theory was way further out than that.
Aliens.
Norse gods. He's convinced they're running Google.
Actually, I kind of see the logic there.
Well, I think you'll figure it out.
I wouldn't need to figure it out if she'd just call me.
I'm sorry, kid, I really am. I promise I will do whatever's necessary to help you forget.
That's the problem. Usually there's enough going wrong with the system, I can keep busy. But since Jennifer came, everything's running smoothly.
Well, okay. How about a new show? Maybe a call-in?
No, those are too repetitive. The same people call in week after week.
Cody did a tech support program 5 years ago, and Mrs. Brainstorm kept calling him to set her VCR.
It was about a 20-minute process, and the cussing... Oh, that woman had a mouth like a sailor.
Oh, good heavens.
Her favorite was...
Abby!
What? We're pirate broadcasters. If they're going to shut us down for anything, it won't be standards and practices.
I know, it's just... Wow!
Point is, no call-in shows.
Fine.
Fine.
And Cody, you said yourself, Jennifer's a genius, but the system's still pretty old. Something's bound to break down sooner or later.
I hope so. I don't want to have to throw a monkey wrench into things.
What would you do, force a short circuit?
No, I'm talking about a literal monkey wrench. I carry it with me, just in case.
Oh.
Please do not throw that into the transmitter.
He won't. Will you?
No.
Good.
JJ's right. Something's bound to go wrong sooner or later.
Definitely. Yeah, I keep being haunted by this feeling that I forgot something.
Help me! Help me! I'm in hell! Why have you forsaken me, JJ?
That was Dr. Graves, wasn't it?
Yes. Or his immortal soul.
See, I knew we forgot something.
Here are some items of community interest for the municipal icebox area. Good news for anyone interested in expanding their education. Fred Henderson of Creek Avenue will be offering college credit courses starting this fall. The newly formed Fred University will feature lectures from Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, Florida State, and virtually any college or university that offers their lectures online for free. Fred will serve as test proctor, admissions counselor, and financial aid advisor, and will also offer the use of the university's computer so long as students take turns. Class slots are closing fast, so put in your applications now. The County Historical Society is bringing their annual winter exhibit to the lobby of City Hall this February. This year's exhibit, A Salute to Seasonal Affective Disorder, traces the history of long winters and the havoc they cause in our county. County historian Adolph O'Brien claims the exhibit is of vital historical importance. History is a cruel bitch warrior princess, O'Brien said in a recent interview. You can't gloss over the bad with the good, especially where winter is concerned. This exhibit, designed and built by O'Brien, is the third in a recent series on depression. Previous entries explored the symptoms of hypothermia and a look at famous suicides in the county's history. The exhibit runs through April, with counseling available.
Coax, no. HDMI, no, the cable runs too short.
Cody?
Yeah?
What are you doing right now?
I'm trying to get the deep fryer to work. What's up?
Come in here a second.
Is something wrong?
Just come in here.
What's wrong? You're as white as a sheet.
Oh, thank you for not saying ghost.
Okay.
I've been doing some research, and I really need to talk to someone.
Research on what?
Stuff. The station. Everything.
Everything is a lot of stuff to research, especially for someone who doesn't like the internet.
I know, but I have charts.
Wow.
I know, right?
You've been charting all the paranormal activity?
Is that what it is?
Well, you have the ghost infestation, the reanimated turkey, that weird thing Grandpa found in the woods, and Jennifer?
She's a mystery.
She's not a paranormal mystery.
I know it's hard for you to see that, but hear me out. All of this stuff started when?
I don't know. A couple of months ago?
Yes. About the time that Jennifer first came.
Wait a minute.
Just listen. Jennifer came in late August. By the end of September, Dr. Graves had disappeared. The mysterious gypsy woman infested the station with ghosts, then disappeared into some kind of a space-time rift. That whole situation was quickly resolved when Jennifer walked into the room and tapped a few keys.
What? Are you summing it up for the audience?
Oh, funny guy. Listen, after that, Jennifer pretty much disappears. But the weirdness continues. Melanie Sarin gets food poisoning at her own Thanksgiving dinner, and then the turkey comes alive and attacks us?
Granted, that was pretty weird.
Then you get a cell phone from Jennifer that's not supposed to work in town, but does. And Barb, the radio diva, is working with her nemesis on the latest play.
I don't know about that last one.
It's a late development. Just today, they're in there planning things. Pleasantly. Quietly. It's creepy.
I just gotta chill.
I know, right?
But what does all this have to do with Jennifer?
It all started when she arrived, Cody. The level of weirdness was normal before she came.
Okay, I see that.
Good.
All I'm saying is I see it. I'm not saying I agree with it.
Fair enough. I just need your help now.
What?
I need to get a message to her.
She's stopped listening to me.
You don't know that.
No, I'm pretty sure I do.
You leave her messages, so she could be listening, right?
I suppose.
for the sake of argument, let's say she is listening. She can't respond for whatever reason.
Can't respond?
For whatever reason. But she is listening. Playing your messages over and over, trying to gauge your mood by every inflection, every syllable, agonizing over her decision to leave.
Stop.
What is it?
I'm getting depressed.
I'm sorry, but you see what I'm saying? It's possible she listens to those messages. Likely, even. And that's why I need to borrow your magic phone to send her a message back.
What message, exactly?
Just three little words.
Just three little words?
Just that.
What are they?
I can't tell you.
And why not?
The whole plan depends on as few people knowing the details as possible.
How many people know the details now?
Just me. Well, and Judy the librarian.
Why'd you tell her?
She's also my bartender.
Yeah, but why did you tell her?
She's a really good bartender, and she's sworn to secrecy. Come on, Cody, it's for your own good.
Why? Could something go wrong and blow up in my face, leading to a dramatic conclusion where several people I care about end up dead?
Why did you put it like that?
I've been thinking dark thoughts ever since Christmas. I got her a present, you know.
Yeah, JJ told me.
I'm still carrying it with me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That looks really familiar.
JJ got you one just like it.
Yes, he did.
Be gentle. He tried to shop for you for hours and kept getting confused. You were this close to getting a paint sprayer.
Well, I suppose I'll just have to remember not to wear my paint sprayer the same day Jennifer wears hers.
You think I'll still get to give it to her?
If you let me borrow that phone, you might.
Three words?
Just three words.
And you can't tell me what they are?
If you knew, the whole thing would fall apart.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. On one condition.
Yes?
Tell me what you hope to get out of this. Be honest. Is this about getting Jennifer back? Keeping the station running? What? Why are you doing this? And don't bother lying because I've known you too long. You have a tell.
I do not.
You do so. Remember the last time we played poker down at Woody's?
You didn't.
We did. We all figured it out.
That's why I lost $100?
Yep.
I don't suppose you tell me what it is.
If you answer my question, I will.
Okay. Why am I doing this?
Why are you doing this?
It's for JJ.
What?
You think I'm lying?
No, I know you're not lying. I know you're not lying. You didn't wrinkle your nose.
I wrinkle my nose when I bluff?
We called you Little Bunny Pants on Fire.
Darn it. Okay, well, I'm not lying now.
I don't think you are. I just don't understand. You put together a big chart trying to make all the crazy pieces fit together, and you're trying to make Jennifer the cause of it all.
Harshly worded, but you're not wrong.
And you're doing all that for JJ?
Yes. He can't lose this, Cody. He can't lose us. He worked 20 years in public schools. Then they not only fired him, they shut down his department. Pretty much told him right to his face that his life had been worthless. That's the way the world is outside of Icebox, Cody. It's cold. You do a job for 20 years, they throw you away like you're a piece of trash. And they're happy about it because it was you and not them. Over Christmas in Madison, I stood in line at a coffee shop for 20 minutes with people I didn't know. They didn't talk to each other, they didn't talk to me. And I tried to start conversations. People would say two words to me and then turn away. They didn't even look up from their phones.
Weird. Which two words?
Never mind. The point is, I don't think JJ can survive back there, Cody. If he had to go back to that, I'm not sure what would happen to him.
Or what would happen to you?
Well, okay, there's a little bit of that, too.
Okay. Press this button, then wait for two long tones, followed by a short. There won't be a message from her or anything, just the tones. When you're done, hit that button.
That's it?
That's it. I'll be in sound effects when you're done.
It'll only take a second.
Right. Three little words.
Okay. Hello, Jennifer. This is Abby. Cody loaned me the phone because I tricked him into it. He didn't want to. I have one message for you. Are you listening? My message is, we know everything. Oh, my nose didn't wrinkle.
Thank you. stories just to fill my head. Mother, can you hold me? Can you rub my back? I can't fall asleep until you hold my hand.
You go.
No, you go.
I insist.
Well, you can insist all you want, but I'm still not doing anything until you go.
And I insist you go first. We had a coin toss. You lost.
I want to see that coin.
Here.
Is this loaded?
Is it what?
Is it a loaded coin, like loaded dice?
I wouldn't even know how to do that. And you made the call.
Ladies, how can I help you?
What do you mean? We were just having a quiet discussion.
And I could hear your quiet discussion from outside in the parking lot. Is there a problem?
Costumes.
I beg your pardon?
My associate would like the actors to be in costume for our latest Scoop Sisters adventure.
I see.
I don't see how introducing a little theatricality to radio could possibly hurt.
I guess I see the point of that. Melanie, wouldn't you agree, in principle?
Ask her. Which costumes?
What?
Ask her which costumes she would like to use.
Okay. Barb, which costume...
I hardly see how that is relevant.
Because you want to put the actors in my play in form-fitting unitards. Hand-painted unitards.
Your play?
Yes, my play in my series, My Life's Work Reduced to a Farce, starring Slim Goodbody.
Hey, I remember that show.
Who?
The man in the unitard that taught me about my digestive system.
Your past is your own concern, J.J. In the here and now, the plays of this radio station are going to another level.
Unitards?
Unitards. Painted in the zodiac symbols.
Well, some of them are. Some are painted with the moon and stars.
Oh, what's this mystery about?
The Scoop Sisters investigate a mystery at the local radio theater, and if I have one more minute of this conversation, I think it's going to turn into a documentary.
Melanie, I know how frustrating this must be.
You don't. You really don't.
And Barb, I really respect your desire to do whatever it is you think you're doing.
Theatricality.
Right, theatricality. I respect that. But we aren't inviting an audience in for this one, are we?
Oh, of course not. The cast would be laughed off the stage in these outfits.
Wait, what?
You see what I'm dealing with, JJ?
Oh, I know exactly what you're dealing with, Melanie.
Costumes for no reason. Forcing the cast to be uncomfortable and silly on some ridiculous idea that it would lead to better acting.
Well, she kind of has a point there, you know.
You agree with her?
Every actor has a sweet spot between nerves and comfort zone. You go too far in one direction, you get a sloppy performance. Too far in the other, everything seems so pinched and brittle. Remember, this is radio. They don't have their appearance or their personality to draw the audience back in. There's no makeup and lights to hide things. All they have is their voice and the microphone. And mics don't lie.
Why, James, that's so deep.
It really is.
You know, there's no particular reason to sound that surprised.
Well, I had no idea you directed.
You... I've directed 50 plays since I've been here, probably more.
Well, yes, but those were mostly flabby and derivative.
That's true.
Why did I come in here?
But there was real understanding in what you just said, JJ.
There really was.
Melanie, I have an idea.
Yes? What is it?
What if JJ directed this play?
That would be amazing.
Wait, Barb. The whole reason I asked you to direct is that I don't have the time.
Don't have the... for heaven's sake, don't be such a drama queen.
Really?
What do you have to do around here that's more important than this?
Help me. Help me. I'm in hell. Hell. Why have you forsaken me, JJ?
Well, okay, there's that.
Was that Dr. Graves?
Yes.
And was he... What was he exactly?
Out of phase, we think. Or he's in hell. Cody's working on a doorway.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Well, if you're that busy, perhaps I could continue as director.
Could you? It would be a big help.
Oh, of course. Now about the other thing.
What other thing?
Well, the seance to bring back Dr. Graves, of course.
You people have seances around here?
Dear, I'm not sure you'll want to get involved in this. Oh, things can get a little weird at Radio Icebox.
Thank you for saying that. I wouldn't want to explain a seance to Pastor Fred.
Oh, who would? You wanted another crack at scene two, remember?
Oh, that's right. I'll go right while you play with your heathen devil worship.
Thank you, dear.
Ta!
What was that about?
Oh, Melanie's one of those religious people. No Halloween, no cursing, and more nativity than Santa Claus, if you know what I mean.
Honestly, I don't.
Just as well. Huh. We have work to do. Back to the attic.
What's in the attic?
The place to organize a seance for poor Dr. Graves. From what Abby told me, that mysterious gypsy woman left all her detritus up there. All we need to do is download a copy of the Necronomicon onto my iPad, and we can bring him back.
Abby told you all that?
Well, she told me most. The rest I inferred.
Well, then she told you the old gypsy woman was really a fraud, right?
A magic fraud.
Then I guess all we have to do is kiss her to turn her into a prince.
What?
Kiss her. The fraud prince?
Oh, James.
What?
That is the worst joke I have ever heard in these halls. And I hope it encourages you to follow me.
To where?
The attic, of course. The ghost awaits.
Time now for news headlines from the Icebox newsroom. This is Amanda Reckon with reporting. Police were called to the home of Wanda Buss at 3rd and Pond Street Saturday night after neighbors complained about her open blinds. Mrs. Buss, who was fond of remembering her days following the Grateful Dead around the country, has been warned about appearing in various forms of undress in front of the picture window directly across from Pastor Bob's house. "Normally, I would say the human body is beautiful in all its forms," Buss said in an interview. "But honestly, I just forgot to pull the shades this time, and also forgot to get dressed. That's been happening ever since the grocery store stopped stocking my favorite oatmeal. It was really good, you know." Mrs. Buss was given a warning and not cited. Pastor Bob, whose wife called in the complaint, was unavailable for comment. The Icebox Community Improvement League has canceled its monthly meeting this month due to irreconcilable conflict on the executive committee. President Barb and Secretary Linda are continuing their discussion about the direction of the committee and the priorities of town improvement, specifically whether or not a thriving food co-op or heavy artillery and tear gas is more necessary for public safety. Residents are reminded to pick sides carefully, or better yet, stay out of it altogether. O'clock here at Radio Icebox, and you know what that theme means. It's time once again for another edition of Radio Icebox Playhouse. This week, drama on tap. It's the thoughtful and spiritual drama, Three Funerals, and it starts right now.
My scripture reading this morning, and my comments will go along with it. I'm taking my scripture reading
good.
Out of the book
Sounds
of Psalms,
good.
The 90th
that
chapter.
That little feedback problem's
Psalms,
not coming
the 90th
back,
chapter,
I hope.
Verse number one said, Lord,
yeah.
Thou
yeah.
hast been
it's
our
good.
Dwelling place.
His name is Ken.
In all generations.
There are men and women like him all
Before
over
the
America.
Mountains were brought forth,
steady,
or ever thou hast
quiet,
formed the earth
invisible.
And the world,
in the strange combination of religion and show business that is the modern American church, men like Ken are ever present and necessary.
Man to destruction and saith, Return ye children.
In a large booth in the very back of the church, high above the altar and pulpit and the choir, Ken sits in a swivel chair surrounded by equipment. There are blinking lights and hundreds of buttons, knobs and switches and sliders and relays. Ken knows the setup very well. He assembled much of it himself. The days of a single microphone and a single switch are long gone. Now thousands of dollars of equipment is necessary to amplify, mix, present, and project. It intimidates and frightens nearly everyone else in the church. And Ken likes it that way.
Wireless is buzzing again. Must be feedback, but that don't make no sense. Monitor? Yeah, the monitors are off. I'll take a look after the service. Good thing this is just a funeral.
Just a funeral? No electric guitars and keyboards as in a worship service. No nervous soloists and crazed mothers as at weddings. Just a funeral. Just one of three. The Icebox Radio Theater presents Three Funerals.
Crap. Ah, okay.
Consuming this and
that's got it.
Condensing this,
crazy.
He brings this scripture.
So then no reason for feedback things, there. It's just crazy.
So teach us to number our days.
No one noticed. Good.
That we may apply our hearts.
It's a small crowd today anyway. It's always small for these out-of-towner funerals.
The psalmist here began
I wonder why they always
this,
come back to be
said,
buried.
Days are past.
See here, Margaret Evans, born Icebox, Minnesota, 1934, died Scottsdale, 2009. Yeah, they always come back. Feedback. Now, why would she feed back like that now? Don't make no kind of sense.
Ken, you still here?
Oh, yeah. Just packing up.
Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah. Nothing.
Your honorarium?
What's that?
Your check. The funeral director gave it to me.
Oh, right. Thanks.
I really want to thank you for coming in on a Tuesday.
No need.
I know that you're busy at the store.
Yeah, well, they cut back the hours. It'll pick up with summer.
Well, I really appreciate it. We never get much warning on these things, do we?
Nope. Not with a funeral, you don't.
Did you have a chance to think about what we talked about the other day?
What's that?
Bobby Anderson, Terry and Michelle's son?
No, I hadn't.
He's very bright and keen to learn.
Yeah, well, that'd be fine.
I was wondering if we could arrange some kind of training, maybe later this month?
Oh, I don't know. It's looking pretty busy the next few weeks. What with the Norquist wedding and you wanted that PowerPoint for your series on Romans? I don't know.
Yeah, about that PowerPoint. That's why I was thinking it'd be a good time for Bobby.
What?
Well, it's just that your specialty is sound. Didn't think you had time to work computer as well.
I can work the computer.
Well, I'm not saying you can't, Ken. It's just that Bobby's very talented in that area, and he could be a big help.
I can work the computer.
I know. I just feel that we've been loading up on you. More instruments, more computers, more video. It's getting to be more than a one-man job, Ken.
Well, what are you saying?
Nothing. I just don't want to rush you.
Is it that feedback today? I'm going to figure that out.
Of course, no. What feedback? No, that's not what I'm...
Because if I'm not doing the job, well, you should replace me.
No, Ken, it's not...
Because you got to look out for the church and what's best. I understand that.
It's okay. I'll just tell Bobby in the spring.
Sure.
I'll tell him the spring, and we'll start training then.
Yeah, it'll be a pleasure to have him up there. It's nice having kids around.
Up here?
What?
Oh, hello, Ken.
Yeah, hi. Can I help you?
Special music. I needed to give you a CD. I'm sorry I didn't think of it before.
Well, you couldn't make it any worse anyway.
What's wrong?
That compressor's out. Everything's too loud, but when I back off the levels, we're losing the low end. It sounds like shit. It sounds bad.
Oh.
Is this the CD?
Yes.
What track?
I'm sorry? Oh, it's Nearer My God to Thee.
Yeah, but what track is it? What number?
Oh, I guess this one? They don't have numbers on the case.
We'll figure it out.
Thank you.
You know, it's nice to have a little bit of warning.
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. But it was the kids' weekend with their dad, and they were up late last night. God, it was all I could do to get them out of the house this morning.
I can't make no promises, you know.
Oh, I don't want you to feel
you
like...
You can't expect me to keep throwing things together like a magician. I keep telling people, let me know what you need, and stuff like this still comes up almost every week.
Ken, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, looks like track 5. If it ain't the right one, just give me a wave, and we'll figure it out.
Thank you. And again, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Could sing great. Yeah, that's right. We started going together on a choir trip. Must be, what, 20 years ago now. Just flies by. You never should have married that guy. He dumped you, didn't he? Just like I said he would. I knew it. Knew you'd come back, too. They all come back to Icebox. The special ones. What? What?
I'm sorry.
What are you doing up here?
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were busy.
We're right in the middle of a worship service, Bobby. Of course I'm busy. Now go sit with your folks.
They said it was okay if I came up here.
Oh, yeah, well, nice of them to ask me about it.
Sorry.
Don't worry about it.
Miss Wilson can sing really nice, can't she?
Yeah.
That's a CD. The playback, I mean.
Of course.
I just ask because I know sometimes people are coming in with MP3s now. Is that hard to do?
Well, not if they bring it on a disc. I can load it in on the computer good enough.
You know, you could just have them use a flash drive.
A what?
a little memory stick, like this one.
Oh, yeah, seen those. I don't like them.
Why not?
Well, that computer there is an antique. The only USB ports are on the back, and with it sitting down in that cabinet, I gotta tear the whole thing out just to get
out. Oh, I can fix that.
Bobby!
I have a USB extension cable. You can run that out back here and have the cable sitting out on the desk. It'll be a lot easier to plug the flash drives in that way. It's in here somewhere.
You carry USB extension cables around?
It's my laptop bag. I carry a lot of stuff.
Got your makeup and a romance novel, too?
No, I just got... No!
Shh! Quiet.
I just like to be prepared, that's all. Here it is.
Okay, I'll make sure that gets installed.
I can do it.
Bobby, not now. Just cool your jets.
I'm sorry.
Don't go down in the dumps like that.
You don't like it when I'm up here, do you?
No, that's not right.
You don't want me up here.
Well, didn't Pastor tell you?
Yeah, the spring. And last year it was until fall.
I don't have time to train you right now.
You're never going to have time. I'm sorry. I just don't know.
What? Why do you want up here so bad anyway?
I have a little studio at home. I want to learn how to do live sound.
You have a studio?
In the garage, yeah. I've recorded a couple of local bands, just friends and stuff. But I don't know anything about events. I got a cousin in St. Cloud. He makes like $200 a show doing dances, providing sound for corporate meetings and stuff. I want to get into that.
And this is why you want to volunteer at church, so you can learn how to make money.
Nah, no. I just want to learn how to do live sound.
Well, maybe you should go to the library and get a book there. There's a couple of good ones on live sound.
I'm thinking, maybe...
You're thinking about DJing dances and stuff. This is church, Bobby, you understand? I don't like the idea of you coming in here just so you can learn how to make a buck playing God knows what kind of music. This is church.
I'm sorry, I'm just not saying things right.
Will you excuse me now, Bobby? I'm working.
Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations.
Ken?
What? Yeah. What is it?
The family. They asked me to sing Nearer My God to Thee. I never got that CD back 2 weeks ago, so I wanted to make sure it was still here.
What?
Ken, are you all right?
Fine. CD. Oh, from that time in church.
Yes, that's right. A couple of weeks ago.
I remember.
Ken, what's wrong? You don't look right.
No. I'm fine. I just... That Sunday, you sang that song, Nearer My God to Thee. He came up here.
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah. I think it was the last time I talked to him. We talked about what a great singer you were.
Oh.
And he hooked up this cable over here, see? That's a USB cable. Next time someone brings me a song on one of them flash drives, I can run it right into the computer.
I'm not very technically inclined, I'm afraid.
He was right. It's a lot easier this way. A lot easier. I suppose they had to close the casket, didn't they?
I don't know. They just asked me to sing.
They almost always do that with someone young, like Bobby. You know, when an old person dies, the funeral's like a relief. Then you open the casket so you can see they're not really there anymore. Reminds you they're not suffering. The life's gone. Oh, but a young person, you don't want an open casket with that. It just looks wrong. Did an open casket funeral for a baby one time. Just about broke my heart.
Ken, are you going to be all right?
Why'd you marry that guy?
What?
That whatever his name is, Trevor from Duluth.
Ken, what are you talking about?
I waited for you. Just like I said I would, and you come back to Icebox too, even though you said you wouldn't.
Ken...
Except you had to marry some guy from college and you didn't even stay married, huh?
I stayed married to him for 15 years. That's pretty good these days.
I know what it was. I weren't good enough.
Ken...
You wore my ring for 2 years in high school, but that was as far as it went, right? I was just the best you could find at the moment.
Ken, your voice is getting too loud.
I was right about everything. The minute I met that guy, I knew he wasn't good enough for you, and I was right. You said you'd never come back, but you came back. I was right again.
Ken, Bobby's family is looking up here.
If we had a kid back then, he'd be Bobby's age.
I... I didn't know.
Didn't know what?
I didn't know it was still like this for you.
Here's your song, track 5, right?
Ken.
It was Nearer My God to Thee, I remember that.
Ken, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Were the levels okay last time?
Ken, you can't do this to yourself. It didn't work out. It's nobody's fault. It just didn't work out.
There, I got your disc in the system. Just give me a nod when you're down there.
Just remember, please, it was nobody's fault.
Just keep telling yourself that, bitch. God, she's beautiful. Even more beautiful than when we were kids. Something about her now. A little sad, maybe? Oh, you don't got no chance, Ken. Forget about her. She was trying to let you down easy. That's what it was. She knew. Look at you. This booth is the best thing you've got going. Work part-time, live in that shack. Only reason you can is Ma left it to you. If you had to pay more than the taxes, you'd be out on the street. Loser, that's all. You're just a loser, and she saw that. Oh, divorce or no, she's got those kids, and if she's going to get a man, he's got to be a father to him. I couldn't do that. Look what happened when Bobby come up here. Practically threw him out on his ass. Father, me. That's a joke, that is. Keep singing, Becky. Keep singing.
Hello? Hello, is anyone there?
Huh?
Hello, is anyone... Ken?
Hello, Pastor. What's the story, huh?
I had some things to do in the office. What are you doing, Ken?
Oh, I had some things to do in the office.
Have you been drinking?
It's this feedback. I think it's in the board. Bad circuit, maybe? I'll fix it.
Ken, I think maybe you should go home.
No.
All right, calm down. But you need to come away from there, right now.
Why?
Because the soundboard was still plugged in. You're going to electrocute yourself.
Yeah.
And maybe you shouldn't have any more?
Sure. You want this?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought I'd try drinking. For a change.
Come on, I'll drive you home, Sam.
She sang real pretty today, didn't she?
What?
Rebecca. Sang real pretty. I feel real bad about Bobby.
We all do.
No, I mean, I feel real bad that I didn't want him up here in the booth. I didn't, you know. You knew, of course you knew. I didn't make it any sort of secret. Kid was smart. Real smart. Long way smarter than me. And then he dies like that.
Ken, we need to get you home.
That's what they call heaven, isn't it? Home. I'd like to go home about right now, I don't mind telling you.
It was a hard day for all of us.
Yeah, put a kid in the ground that age. What do you think they'll do to the driver of that car, huh? Think he'll go to jail?
I don't know.
I'd like to see him fry myself. Drunk driver kills a kid like Bobby. You think Bobby's in heaven?
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, he would be. Probably accepted his Lord and Savior right on schedule.
I baptized him last year at camp.
Like I said, right on schedule. That's all that counts, right? Except the Lord and Savior. See, I have been listening to those sermons.
I'm glad to hear it. Now, why don't...
Because, you know, Pastor, some of us think you have to do good in this life to go to heaven. Some of us think it ain't free.
We need to...
Get me home. I know. Let me ask you something. What if I told you that every word I ever heard up here rolled off of me like water off a duck's back?
Ken.
Every goddamn word. What if I told you I'm working out my own religion? The Church of the Fair, huh? Oh, name stinks, I work on that. But how about it, huh? The Church of Fair. A church where he that works hardest goes to heaven, and all the baby killers get their hands chopped off, and the women that leave you, they get lonely.
Kenneth, you're very drunk. And you need to go home.
How's that for a church? Something that makes sense for a change. Because you know what, Pastor?
I seen you do funerals for saints, and I seen you do them for sinners, and in my professional opinion, there ain't no difference.
I'm not going to argue theology with a drunken man.
You and your Jesus. Believe me, believe and be saved. That didn't make any sense. How about a little effort? How about a little work?
Ken?
I'm up here week after week. What do I have to got to show for it? A drunk driver run Bobby down? You know what gets me? He could do one of them, what do you call deathbed confessions and go right to heaven. He could go to heaven and run into Bobby there. How would that make Bobby feel, huh? You do the right thing, you end up in the same place as the guy what got a snootful and runs down a kid? How about it, Pastor? Is that really the way it is?
I'm afraid so, Ken. We're all saved by grace, not by works.
Why?
Would you like to know, or would you just make you angry?
Drive me home. I'm drunk.
Yes, Ken.
I'll fix this mess. Don't worry.
I never do. Ken?
Yes, Pastor.
They're going to delay a few minutes. I thought I'd let you know.
Something wrong?
No, it's the singing. Mrs. Natch has asked these songs to be sung before the service, and the people are enjoying this. So the family thought it would be nice to just let them go ahead and sing for a while longer.
Oh. I'll wait for your signal then?
Yes, that'd be fine. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice when the whole church joins in like that. Sure don't need me.
Ken, we need to talk. Soon.
I promise that won't ever happen again, Pastor. Inexcusable, I know. Drunk in church, it's just...
I understand, but I still think you and I...
I know. Bobby dying like that had me all mixed up. I didn't even know what I was doing.
Ken, it's nothing to do with the drinking. I'm glad you did it.
What now?
I'm glad. Your guard came down for those few minutes. I think you said what you really felt.
Well, you got no right to do that, Pastor. Holding a man to what he said drunk?
I disagree. I think you were being honest. And I think you meant those things. Now, I wouldn't be a very good man now if I let that go by.
I don't even remember what I said.
Yes, you do. I see it in your eyes. You might have been drunk, Ken, but you know what you were saying. Everything about grace, about how unfair it is. Someone like you who works week after week for no pay... It would seem unfair. It occurs to me that I take advantage of you.
No.
No, I really think I do. I need you up here making sure everything works properly. And I was just too much of a coward to see that the man who makes sure everyone hears what I said was crying out for someone to listen.
Well.
Yeah, I've said too much. I'll be in my office after the funeral. I've got some pretty good coffee last time when we were in the cities. Would you join me for a cup?
Yeah, all right.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you.
Oh, holy crap.
Ken?
Yeah. Hello.
Are you all right?
Fine. Why?
Nothing. I just wanted to check.
Wait. Are you singing today?
No, they didn't ask. I'm kind of glad, actually. After this hymn sing, I don't think I'd want to.
Oh, that ain't right.
What do you mean?
Did you know Mrs. Natchez?
Not well.
Loved music. She wanted this, and she'd want your voice, too.
Ken.
Wait. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I treated you bad. I made it all your fault.
Made what all my fault?
You know... Us.
Oh.
It was all my fault.
No, it wasn't. It was just how most high school romances end. We moved on.
You moved on.
Ken, I'm leaving town again.
Why?
There's a job in St. Cloud. I can take the kids. They'll be closer to their dad. You should know, coming back to town was only temporary for me.
Yeah.
I am sorry. It was good seeing you again. I want you to know that.
Yeah. you're happy now. She's leaving. For good, this time. Oh, and you're in trouble with the pastor. Oh, he talks all nice and everything, but you know what's going to happen. He'll give a line about helping you with your drinking. Maybe suggest a program somewhere. What else? What else could he be? You screwed the pooch this time, Ken. God, if you didn't screw up your life royally. Stupid thinking she'd have anything to do with me. She moved on, right? She went on and she did her thing and she has a life now. She can move to St. Cloud if she wants. Me, I'm stuck here. Move to St. Cloud would feel like a move to Mars. Stuck here part-time at a hardware store. What kind of... And the only thing that made sense was this here booth. Here I could do some good. Here I could fix things and people... Well, I think they appreciated it. I gotta do something with myself. I gotta do something. If I just sit around moping around the house, I don't know what'll happen. Oh, this can't be. Okay, I gotta get myself together. I gotta go down there, talk to Pastor, get him seen that I'm an all right guy. That day with the booze, that was grief over Bobby. I'll find some kid to be assistant up here. No, I won't make that mistake twice. That Jordan boy. He's shown an interest. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll start to reach out more. I'll change. I can do it. I swear I can do it. I mean, it's up to me, right? Ain't nobody can help old Ken. Not now. Nobody can help. Nobody. Not after the way I behave. Because none of them... No one wants to... No one's gonna help.
Ken?
Hmm?
After this song, we'll be ready to start.
Okay. I'll be ready.
This has been Three Funerals, written and directed by Jeffrey Adams. Our cast this evening featured Dave Irwin as the pastor, Perrin Irwin as Bobby, and Ayla McIntosh as Rebecca. Jeffrey Adams played Ken. This program, copyright 2010 by Icebox Radio Theater, all rights reserved. Visit them on the web at www.iceboxradio.org. Until next time, this is your announcer, Gene G, saying good night.
Musical accompaniment provided by the worship team of the Evangelical Covenant Church, International Falls. Vocal soloist was Valerie Peterson. I can't believe we're doing this.
I can't believe we didn't think of it before.
Wait, you're in favor of this paranormal nonsense?
In favor is a very strong wording.
Okay, I think everything is all set.
I have it. Oh, my, this wireless internet is very handy. I shall have to spend all my off hours here from now on.
Great. Right from one form of haunting straight into another.
That is not a very nice thing to say.
Sorry, I'm just kind of in a savage mood because I don't know what's going on.
We're recreating the gypsy seance.
To bring Dr. Graves back.
Right, but the gypsy wasn't really a gypsy.
Romany, then?
No, she wasn't any of those things. She probably wasn't even of this earth.
Oh, now who's being far-fetched?
I just think we're wasting our time with anything that woman was doing.
Is that what this is about?
Is what?
You're afraid we'll repeat her mistake.
Actually, I don't really think it was a mistake, because I don't really think she knew
because the ritual we're doing is completely different than the one she did. She was attempting to cleanse the building, yes?
Or pretending to cleanse the building, sure, but I still
then
think...
Then I am doing a completely different ritual. See? It's in a different section of the book.
I can't see the different sections, because that's an iPad.
Then take my word for it. Now get in the circle and make ready those towels.
Fine. But this is better work. My God, it worked!
Oh, good heavens!
Dr. Graves, are you all right?
I don't know, Cody. I appear to have been... slimed.
Towels, James, towels!
Oh, right.
What do you remember? Where have you been?
Been?
You've been gone over a month. Sucked up into an interdimensional rift by Rutiger the ghost.
What on earth are you talking about, Cody? The last thing I remember was being talked into playing along in your little ruse to fool that nice Jennifer.
That's the last thing you remember?
I'm afraid so. Did I miss much?
I don't even know where to start.
Well, you could start out by explaining what happened to Jennifer.
We don't know, Doctor. She left town and said she'd never return.
What?
It's complicated.
No, it's not.
What do you mean?
I just wanted to know what happened to Jennifer. She has scratches all over her face and twigs and leaves in her hair. She looks like she's been in the woods for weeks.
How on earth could you know that?
I have eyes. Look!
Jennifer?
I leave you guys alone for 5 minutes.
She's falling.
I got her.
What's wrong? Are you okay?
I have towels.
You opened the rift. I can't believe you opened the rift again.
What's going on here?
What do you mean? What rift?
Where have you been?
Here, Cody. I was here the whole time.
I knew it.
What on earth is happening?
Oh, come along, Doctor. I'll fill you in best as I understand it while we clean you up.
Wait!
Well, what is it?
All of you, listen. You need to get out now. Everyone here is in grave danger.
This has been Radio Icebox Season 1, Episode 9, Zodiac, Unitard, Monkey Wrench, starring Ayla McIntosh as Abby, Cody Boyer as Cody, Scotta Turner played Jennifer, and Jeffrey Adams was JJ. Our guest stars this evening featured Victoria Olson as Barb, Karen Schickel was Melanie, and Douglas Screef was Dr. Graves. Direction and post-production by Jeffrey Adams. Some sound effects from the Freesound Project at freesound.org. The song this week was 1,000 Dappled Ponies by Paper Parlor from Dream Screen, their latest album. Learn more about them and support their music at bandcamp.com. The Icebox Radio Playhouse theme song is Monkeys Spinning Monkeys by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. The radio play this week was Three Funerals by Jeffrey Adams and was originally produced by the Icebox Radio Theater in 2010. Radio Icebox Season 1 is made possible in part by the voters of Minnesota through a grant from the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, thanks to appropriations from the Minnesota State Legislature's General and Arts and Cultural Heritage Funds.